Hi, and welcome to the West Visalia Audio Podcast. Each message is designed to help you grow and inspire you to take action. Please take a moment to hit the subscribe button, and don't be shy to drop us a message if you have a question. Thanks for listening, and God bless.
It's good to see everyone that's here. I hope and pray that everyone is being renewed as we come together in fellowship, as we praise God together, as we spend time in Bible study. As we know, our theme for this year is this idea of being renewed, about renewing our strength, about renewing our resolve and our zeal for God. And I know last year was a challenging year, of course, and 2021 isn't any less challenging. New challenges come, you know, every day, but our goal in Christ Jesus is to constantly be renewed and place our trust in Him. This morning, as we get into our lesson, I want to share with you a quote that I found in preparation for this lesson. I had never heard this before, and I was actually not familiar with the author of it. I had to look her up, but I thought this was a powerful quote. It was this: the four sayings that lead to wisdom are, I was wrong, I'm sorry, I don't know, I need help. That's pretty true, right? I mean, if you want to be wise, if you want to live a wise life, and I hope all of us do, we want to be wise people, we need to be people who are willing to admit when we're wrong. We need to be people that are willing to say, I'm sorry, right? That I did something wrong. Or, I don't know, because you know what? As the preachers, a lot of times I have to say that. People ask me questions, and I say, I don't know, or I need help. And that's a hard one, right? It's hard to ask for help a lot of times. My son Owen is always getting after me for this because we'll go to a store and I can't find something. You know, like, why don't you ask a worker? I'm like, I'm not going to ask a worker. Because it's hard to admit we need help. But you know what? If we want to be wise, we have to be people who are willing to say, hey, I need some help. And on a spiritual level, this is so important. Because as you read through the Bible, especially like when you get to like the book of 1 John, one of the teachings you see over and over again is this idea that the one who won't admit the need for forgiveness is one who'll never receive it. Think about it. The person who never admits that they need forgiveness will never be forgiven. That goes for us. If we don't ever admit sin, if we don't ever admit we've done anything wrong, if we don't ever say, God, I need your forgiveness, we will never receive that forgiveness and we'll be lost in our sin. That might be the one unforgivable sin you might think of, is the sin of saying, I've done nothing wrong. We need to be willing to admit when we're wrong, admit our sins if we want to be forgiven. So let's ask a question then today. When was the last time, myself included, that we realized we were doing something wrong? If we can't pinpoint something in our lives, maybe we're not spending enough time in self-reflection. Maybe we're not spending enough time challenging ourselves. When was the last time you or I realized we were doing something wrong? When was the last time we came to the conclusion that we believed something wrong? If you've never questioned your own religious beliefs, there's a problem there. We need to always be questioning, you know, what we believe and, you know, lining it up with scripture and you know, praying about it and all of that. When was the last time you came to the conclusion that you believed something wrong? When was the last time you asked for help? When was the last time you confessed a sin? When was the last time you asked somebody to forgive you? If we can't pinpoint a few of those, there might be a problem with our spiritual walk. Now, this is hard for us. It's hard for us to admit fault. It's hard for us to admit that we make mistakes. It's hard for us, especially as Christians, especially, you know, myself in a leadership position, we don't want to admit when we do things wrong. We want people to think, well, we're up here. We got it all figured out. We don't want them to know that we slip up. And it's a challenge. A while back, I was in a conversation with a friend. And after the conversation, maybe I'm the only one that does it, but I play over the conversation in my head. You guys do that too, right? Okay. And you rethink everything you've ever said, you know, laying in bed at night. Well, I was thinking through the conversations that I had with this friend of mine. And as I'm thinking through it, I came to a conclusion. I said, wait a second. I was gossiping. I was talking about some people that we mutually knew. And I wasn't speaking really favorably. And I was thinking, that's wrong. So then I had a choice to make. What do I do about it? Do I just blow it off? Ah, it's not that big of a deal. Because that's our gut reaction, right? When we realize deep down we've done something wrong, is to go, ah, it's not that big of a deal. Well, I had to suck it up and put on my big boy pants, and I sent my friend a message saying, hey, just so you know, I was thinking over our conversation, and I came to the conclusion that I was kind of gossiping, and I want you to forgive me. I was setting a bad example. I shouldn't have done that. That was hard for me to do. I had to admit that I did something wrong. I had to admit that I wasn't behaving in a way that wasn't good. And my friend received it well. He said, yeah, it's something I need to work on too. And, you know, I moved on and I felt better because of it. But when was the last time we've done something like that? And because for every one time I've done that, there's a whole lot of times where I've let it go, got over the problem, or acted like there wasn't anything wrong. When was the last time you confessed a sin? Now, even on maybe a simpler level, maybe not grand scale, like big right and wrong sin ideas, what about even when it comes to personal growth in our own life? Has there been areas recently where you came to the conclusion that you could do better? Maybe you're not doing wrong. See, sin is real cut and dry sometimes, right? But what about areas where you could improve? Are you a good student of the Bible? Yes, I am. Could you be better? Of course I can. Right? You understand that idea? Are you preaching the gospel to your friends? Yes. Could you do it more? Yes, we could. We can always learn more, and we all have room to grow. The problem is a lot of times we don't look for those opportunities to grow. We don't look for those opportunities to do better. We just sit back acting like we have it all figured out, and we never move forward. We never renew ourselves, and we never find that renewal that's available in Jesus Christ. So this morning, what I want us to do is we're going to continue our study in the book of Acts. What we've been doing is week after week, we're going through the book of Acts, working through the text so that we allow God's word to speak to us. And what we're going to do today is I want us to look at two examples of personal growth from Acts chapter 18 and 19. If you're new here, the Bible is divided up into an Old and New Testament. The Old Testament talks about the time before Jesus. The New Testament talks about the time during Jesus and after Jesus. The book of Acts that we're looking at is a historical book where it talks about what the early Christians did to spread Christianity. A lot of times they came across persecution. There was people that rejected them. There was a lot of racial division between Jews and Gentiles. There was a lot of prejudices. There was a lot of issues that came about because Christianity was a new movement. And the book of Acts kind of follows the paths of preachers like Peter, who you may have heard of, and Paul. And we read about their different mission works and how they're planting churches and bringing people to Christ. Well, we're in Acts chapter 18 this morning, and Paul's in what's called his third missionary journey. He took several journeys. In the back of your Bible, you probably saw a map one time with a bunch of arrows where it showed where Paul went. Well, here on this third missionary journey, in Acts chapter 18, verse 23, it says, "And having spent some time there, he left and passed successively through the Galatian region and Phrygia, strengthening the disciples." So Paul is going on, strengthening people as he goes, preaching the gospel and going about his mission. Well, then in verse 24, we come to our first example of someone who grew personally and spiritually, someone who realized that they could improve. First example is that of Apollos. Let's read. Verse 24. "Now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth," so a Jewish man born in the Greek world, "by birth an eloquent man," so he's a good speaker, "came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures," which, by the way, if you ever give a eulogy for me, hopefully one of you will say Cliff was mighty in the scriptures. But they said that about Apollos. So Apollos was mighty in the scriptures, and this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in spirit, and he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being only acquainted with the baptism of John. So here you have a man named Apollos. Is Apollos a good guy? Absolutely. Apollos loves God. Apollos wants to preach the message. Apollos has a fervent spirit. Apollos is mighty in scripture. This is a guy that wants to serve God and wants to teach others about God, and he's out there trying to preach Jesus. That's good. That's wonderful. We should be excited about this, but he's not completely correct. He could do better. Here's why. See, Apollos, according to verse 25, was only acquainted with the baptism of John. Remember a guy named John the Baptist? John the Baptist came before Jesus. John the Baptist was baptizing people and preparing them for the coming of the Messiah. When Jesus came, John the Baptist slowly backed out of the picture. We know he ultimately was killed and all that, but he put the focus on Jesus. Jesus died, buried, and rose again. Jesus told his disciples, "You go out there and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." This man, Apollos, knew about Jesus and was preaching a message of Jesus, but he wasn't familiar with the conclusion of the story. He was still preaching kind of John's baptism, "Get ready, the Messiah is coming," and instead of, "Hey, we should get baptized because of what Jesus did," he didn't have complete knowledge right now. He maybe at one time he learned this over here, and he went out there and just kept preaching it. That's good. He was on fire for God, but he needed to grow in his knowledge. So verse 26, and he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained the word of God to him more accurately. So think about this. Here's a man who's described as fervent in spirit. He's a man who's teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus. He's not described as a false teacher, as we might call him. Now, he's mistaken on things. He doesn't have the full picture, but he's a good guy. He's out there preaching the message of Jesus, but he didn't know all of it. He only knew the baptism of John. So Priscilla and Aquila, they hear him preaching, and they took him aside. They didn't rebuke the guy. They didn't go, you heretic. They didn't do any of that. They took him aside, and they explained to him the way of God more accurately. He didn't understand all of it just yet. He didn't have the complete picture. He needed to grow. Now, what if Apollos would have said, I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm mighty in scripture. I'm fervent in spirit. People respect me and I'm an eloquent man. No, he didn't do that. When Priscilla, Aquila, and Aquila took him aside, which is his need here too, because it mentions Priscilla first, which usually in Greek, that means that she probably took maybe the more prominent role in trying to address this man. But Priscilla and Aquila are talking to him. He didn't go, who are you? How dare you tell me? What's this woman talking to me? Who are you, Aquila? Why are you trying to correct me? They took him aside. They explained to him the way of God more accurately, and he responded well. Because as we go on, verse 27, it says, and when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace and had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. He didn't fully understand that beforehand. Now he does, and now he's a powerful ally for Christianity, and he's preaching the message of Jesus and refuting those that are preaching false and telling the world that Jesus was the Christ. What do we learn from this? Apollos realized that he could learn more. He saw that he had room to grow. If our knowledge of Scripture stopped at a certain age, a certain grade, after a certain class or a certain graduation, whatever it was, we're not growing. If my knowledge of Scripture ended when I got my diploma, I'm not growing. Apollos here was a good guy. Apollos was a fervent guy. We would not fault Apollos in anything that he was doing, but he still could learn more and he had room to grow. And when he saw an opportunity to fix himself, to fix his teaching, to him and improve, he did it. He didn't put up his guard and go, no. Are you saying that I've been teaching false all these years? He didn't do that. So you're saying that I don't know Jesus? He didn't do any of that. He accepted it, and the text says that he greatly helped everybody afterwards because of the message that he heard, and he was willing to obey it. We always can learn more, and we all have room to grow. Example number one of that is Apollos. Example number two this morning. Let's keep going. Acts chapter 19. We go on from here and we read about Apollos and he preached and all that. Chapter 19, verse 1, though, now we have this example of these disciples, as they're called, in Ephesus. Let's read. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, so Apollos is now preaching, he's in Corinth doing his thing, which is totally awesome. Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus, and he found some disciples. So now he finds people that are trying to follow Jesus. They're called disciples. Okay, like we are. He comes across these people, which this is neat too, because Christianity is spreading on its own too. It doesn't just have to be by Paul or Peter. You got people telling other people, learning and reading and growing, and it spreads. And it's so cool. Even maybe you'll come across somebody and you'll find out they're a Christian too, and you both came to, you don't know that all the time, right? Here's Paul. He comes across some disciples in Ephesus. And in verse 2, he comes up and he talks to them. He says, hey, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, on the contrary, we have not even heard if there is a Holy Spirit. So now you have some people again. Their knowledge is limited. You don't have to know everything to start following Jesus. But here, Paul came across some people who didn't even fully understand the Holy Spirit, which I don't blame them. I don't fully understand the Holy Spirit. But they said, well, on the contrary, we never even heard if there was one. Because remember, you read about the believers receiving the Spirit and all of that. And they didn't. They said, we don't even know if the Holy Spirit, if there is one. So Paul asked him another question. He goes, in what were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Well, think about this now. So now these are people that are pre-death, burial, resurrection of Jesus disciples, possibly. These are people that, when Jesus was alive, heard John the Baptist preach, got baptized by him, and then went on out and did their life and went to Ephesus and are still trying to follow God. They didn't know of everything else that transpired. They still needed to grow. They were only acquainted with John's baptism. Or maybe their baptism by John's baptism was after the fact by a disciple of a disciple of a disciple of John. Nevertheless, verse 4, it says, Paul said, John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling people to believe in him that was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. So John's baptism pointed forward to Jesus, but our baptism, what? Points backwards to Jesus based upon what he did. John baptized people based upon what Jesus is going to do. We're baptized based upon what Jesus did. They kind of got it out of order a little bit. So what happened? Verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Think about how huge this is. Paul just tells them that their conversion might have been invalid. Okay? That they were doing, that what they thought was right wasn't the complete picture. When we sometimes hear a message like that, we get taken aback. We're like, whoa, 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 whoa. What are you saying? Are you saying I wasted my time all those years? Are you saying that I'm a bad person? Are you saying that I did whatever, fill in the blank? But they didn't do that there. And Paul doesn't do that there either. He doesn't condemn their past actions and all of that. He doesn't go, oh, you ignorant people. No, he doesn't do any of that. He says, hey, let me tell you what you're missing out on. And he told them, and they said, all right, well, I guess that means we need to do this. So verse 5, it says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They go, I guess we need to do it. And you know what? When you have an open heart, that's how you respond to Scripture. When you learn, you go, well, guess I need to do that too. Well, you haven't been doing that your whole life. I guess I haven't. I need to fix it. That's what we do. That's an honest and open heart. And if we have that attitude toward the Bible, we'll have a more easy mindset to receive it. We won't get so pushing back against it. We won't argue against it. We'll just go, oh, that's what it says. I might as well do it. I just never read that before. And it happens. Here's people here. They're good people, well-meaning people, spiritual people, people that are trying to follow God who just were acquainted with the wrong baptism. So Paul teaches them the truth. They heard the truth, and they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then we go on. He laid their hands on them and all of that. And there's about 12 people there, verse 7, that this happened to. So it's a pretty good-sized little group of people that were mistaken that learned the truth. What's the point for us? We can always learn more, and we all have room to grow. I think it's neat how these two lessons are right there back-to-back there in Acts chapter 18 and 19. Back-to-back, we have example and then another example of an individual and then a group of people who were good people, well-meaning people, people who wanted to follow God that just needed to learn more. And you know what we have today? In this auditorium, myself included, good people who love Jesus, who still need to learn some more, right? There's always more for us to learn. There's always room for us to grow. So what are some lessons then for us today? What can we take home? What are some bullet points that we can apply to our life when we leave this building here in about 15 minutes? Number one, admitting that you are wrong does not negate the good you were doing when you were wrong. And I want to bring that up because sometimes people get really upset about this. You'll show someone Scripture. Maybe you've done the same thing. I know I probably have too. Where the truth is laid out in Scripture. And you realize, wait a second. I was believing false. Does that mean that everything you did over here was bad? See, sometimes people have a hard time with that. Because there might be someone who's part of a false, completely false religion who's doing good things. Okay? They learned the truth. They followed Jesus. That doesn't mean that when they fed the poor over here, they were doing something bad. That doesn't mean that when they took care of the widow over here, they were doing something bad. It doesn't mean when they showed love to their neighbor, they were doing something bad. I think sometimes we frame it in our mind that if I admit that I was wrong back then, that means everything I did was nothing. And I've seen this happen in churches and religious leaders too. If I admit that I was wrong back then, people are going to lose respect for everything I did back then. Did we lose respect for Apollos? No. Did I lose respect for these disciples in Ephesus? No. I gained more respect for them in the fact that they were willing to hear the truth and change. So admitting that you're wrong does not negate good you've done in the past. It does not mean you were a bad person back then or that you hated God. It just means you needed to learn more and there was changes that needed to be made. Number two, don't allow being corrected to stifle your zeal. Apollos was a zealous guy before and after he was corrected. I've seen it before. When someone gets corrected, they lose all that energy behind them, right? They don't like it. Now they've broken down. And maybe the person corrected them in a bad way. That's a possibility too. But however, when we are corrected, when Scripture tells us that we're wrong or where someone shows us that we're wrong, don't allow that to just crush our spirit. Allow it to motivate you. All right, now I need to fix this. Let's keep moving forward. Because what happens a lot of times, we find out we're wrong. We go, it's just wasting my time. Then I might as well quit. Can't do that. Don't allow correction to stifle your zeal. And then number three, always be looking for a better way. In all things, every aspect of your life, always look for a better way. Look for a way to be a better, my kids, I want to be a better father. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better preacher. I want to be a better coach. I want to be a better neighbor. I want to be better. I want to be a better student. I want to be better in my prayer life. I want to be more obedient. We should always be looking for a better way. Don't become complacent in your Christian walk. What if Apollos was like, yeah, but I'm doing good. What if those disciples in Ephesus said, yeah, you know what, we're all right. We don't need to change. We've had a good thing going for a while. Always be looking for a better way. We can always learn more. We all have room to grow. The four sayings that lead to wisdom are, I was wrong, I'm sorry, I don't know, and I need help. Let's renew that kind of a spirit in our hearts today. Let's renew a spirit that says, I'm going to always be looking for ways to improve, and I'm going to always be willing to accept correction when it shows me where I can improve. The lesson is yours today. We're going to sing a song here in just a moment. If there's anyone here that afterwards needs to talk to somebody, we're here to pray with you. We'll encourage you. If you have questions about your own beliefs, let us talk to you. We can study through this because none of us got it all perfectly figured out, but we do have a perfect book here in front of us that allows us to learn how to follow Jesus. If there's any way that we can get you plugged into a Bible study, pray with you or encourage you, please let one of us know afterwards. But right now, let's all stand together and sing the song that was selected.
Thanks again for listening to West Visalia Audio. We hope these messages have helped you grow and inspired you to take action. Be sure to check in each week for more on-the-go content or visit our YouTube channel to watch the live video. Thanks for participating, and God bless.